Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Serene from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13. Dhritarashtra quits home, text 17. Evam
Griheshu
Saktanam Pramatanam Tat Ihaya Atyakramat Avigyata Kala Parama Dustara. Evam Griheshu Saktanam Pramatanam Tarihaya Atya Kramaravigyata Kala Paramadustara. Evam Griheshu Saktanam Pramatanam Tarihaya Atya Kramar Avigyata Kala Paramadustara. Evam, thus, Griheshu, in the family affairs, Saktanam, of persons who are too attached, Pramatanam, insanely attached, Tat Ihaya, engrossed in such thoughts, Atyakramat, surpassed, Avigyata, imperceptibly, Kala, eternal time, Parama, supremely, Dustara, insurmountable. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Insurmountable, eternal time, imperceptibly overcomes those who are too attached to family affairs and who are always engrossed in their thoughts. Purport. I am now happy. I have everything in order. My bank balance is quite enough. I can now give my children enough estate. I am now successful. The poor beggar sannyasis depend on God, but they come to beg from me. Therefore, I am more than the supreme God. These are some of the thoughts which engross the insanely attached householder who is blind to the passing of eternal time. Our duration of life is measured, and no one is able to enhance it even by a second against the scheduled time ordained by the supreme will. Such valuable time, especially for the human being, should be cautiously spent, because even a second passed away imperceptibly cannot be replaced, even in exchange for thousands of gold coins amassed by hard labor. Every second of human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to the problems of life. That is, repetition of birth and death, and revolving in the cycle of 8,400,000 different species of life. The material body, which is subject to birth and death, diseases and old age, is the cause of all sufferings of the living being. Otherwise, the living being is eternal. He is never born, nor does he ever die. Foolish persons forget this problem. They do not know at all how to solve the problems of life, but become engrossed in temporary family affairs, not knowing that eternal time is passing away imperceptibly and that their measured duration of life is diminishing every second without any solution to the big problem, namely repetition of birth and death, disease and old age. This is called illusion. But such illusion cannot work on one who is awake in the devotional service of the Lord. Yudhisthira Maharaj and his brothers, the Pandavas, were all engaged in the service of Lord Sri Krishna, and they had very little attraction for the illusory happiness of this material world. As we have discussed previously, Maharaj Yudhisthira was fixed in the service of Lord Mukunda, the Lord who can award salvation, and therefore he had no attraction even for the comforts of life as are available in the kingdom of heaven, because even the happiness obtained on the planet of Brahmaloka is also temporary and illusory. Because the living being is eternal, he can be happy only in the eternal abode of the kingdom of God, Paravyoma, from which no one returns to this region of repeated birth and death, disease and old age. Therefore, any comfort of life or any material happiness which does not warrant an eternal life is but illusion for the eternal living being. One who understands this factually is learned, and such a learned person can sacrifice any amount of material happiness to achieve the desired goal known as Brahma Sukham, or absolute happiness. Real transcendentalists are hungry for this happiness, and as a hungry man cannot be made happy by all comforts of life, minus foodstuff, so the man hungry for eternal absolute happiness cannot be satisfied by any amount of material happiness. Therefore, the instruction described in this verse cannot be applied to Maharaj Yudhisthira or his brothers and mother. It is meant for persons like Dhritarashtra, for whom Vidura came especially to impart lessons. Evam griheshu saktanam pramatanam tat ihaya atya kramat avigyata kala paramadustara. Insurmountable eternal time imperceptibly overcomes those who are too attached to family affairs and are always engrossed in their thought. Om Vishnu Upadaya Krishna Prasthaya Budaya Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatya Deva Siddharna. Srila Prabhupada makes two points in this verse, not unusual points. One is that material life is bad and spiritual life is good. And we may think, for instance, if we've been in the movement for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, that we've heard this before. When I first joined the movement, there were only 3 books available, namely Srila Prabhupada's original 3 Bhagavatams. And the first day I walked in for a class was they were talking about Ashvatthama throwing nuclear weapons at Arjuna. So I thought that was quite interesting. But at that time, the eldest devotee in our center, who had joined, at least Rupanuga was the eldest devotee, he had been there for a year. He was the senior most devotee. And the second senior devotee was Burjan Peru. He had been there for 3 months. So he had the right to give all the classes. But his class, he only gave the Bhagavatam class, because we didn't have classes in the morning exactly. We just read from Prabhupada's books. There was no commentary. But he gave the Bhagavad Gita classes at the university in the afternoon, 3 times a week. But there was only one Bhagavad Gita we had, which is the second chapter from Dr. Radhakrishna's book. Prabhupada said we could read that. And he was reading from that, and he only read one verse. That is, Deinosmi nita dehe kamaram yovanam jara tata dahantara praptira tiryas tatra namuyati. That the embodied soul is continually passing from one body to the next, from boyhood to youth, from youth to old age. And similarly, at the time of death, the soul will pass to another body. That the self-realized soul is not bewildered by such a change. So I sat there. There was only Rupanuga. Sometimes Prabhu would give class outside the university, and some students would gather around, and I'd sit there and challenge him. And then Burjan would give class a couple of times a week inside the student union, and there's only a couple of persons who would attend, and I was one of them. And that was the only verse he gave for 1 month. So after the end of a month, before he said anything, I already was repeating it within my mind what he was going to say, because I had heard it, the same thing, every time for a month. And I was just about to explode and say, well, why don't you say something different? But I sat there and suddenly I realized, wow, I'm not this body. That's amazing. Why didn't he repeat that again? Therefore, although sometimes it appears that Prahlad Maharaj said, punak punas charavita charavananam, that in this material world, our experiences are chewing the chute. And sometimes it appears, even within Krishna consciousness, we're repeating the same thing over and over again. That, basically speaking, material consciousness is not very nice, no matter how you decorate it and how poetic it is. And spiritual life is nice. However, incorrectly the grammar or the presentation is, still, if Krishna is there, everything is nice. Yadvichas chitra padam hariyarya sho jagat praritam parigriha karhi chit tadvayasam tirtu shanti manasa niyatra hangsa niramantyu shikshaya. That those words which don't glorify the Supreme Lord, whose glories can alone purify the entire universe, are like words which are places of pilgrimage for crows. The all-perfect persons, they don't find any pleasure there because they're residents of the transcendental abode. Material life is based upon sound vibration since time immemorial, or at least since this birth. Our understanding of reality is based upon what we've heard. Unfortunately for most of us, at the beginning of our life, we weren't taught the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. We were taught the philosophy of Maya Sampradaya. And most of our relatives and friends, they're all bona fide representatives of the Maya Sampradaya. Our initiation was not probably sages around the time of our birth chanting the holy name. Our initiation was someone slapped us on the back. We began to cry. And the next thing we heard was, goo, 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 goo. Translated is, you are that body, you are that body. Oh, it's so cute. And you go, yeah, right. And that philosophy was further confirmed as we grow up, went to school, learned the golden rule that you are number one. Prahlad Maharaj says, Kumara acharat pragyo, dharmam bhagavatani ha, durlabham manusha janma, tarap yajuvam artajam. That we should actually learn from the very beginning of life what is life. And here Prabhupada mentions that there are certain problems with life that no one has been able to overcome. Although we have hopes, those who are in the material world have hopes, and those who are aspiring to the spiritual world, they're trying to free themselves from these hope. And what is that hope? Is that somehow or another we can actually create a happy life in this material world. Otherwise, no one could, practically speaking, most of our activities would stop unless we had faith that somehow or another we can make a happy life. And what is that happy life? Here it explains, nice house, nice bank balance, security, comfort and security. But the Bhagavatam doesn't encourage that. Therefore, we may not like the Bhagavatam. it may spoil our hopes against hope. When Shukadeva Goswami, or when Pariksha Maharaj was about to die, he didn't ask Shukadeva Goswami, well, what about my family? What's going to happen to them? He didn't ask, do you have a cure for snake bite? Are you selling life insurance? No, he immediately asked him, what is the duty of a person who is about to die? And as we all know, although we may not believe it, that everyone here is about to die. Sorry for the bad news. We didn't want to depress everyone during the class, but the fact is that although Europe is one of the most advanced places in the world, still the death rate is still 100%. Everyone dies. Hiranyakashipu, he was intelligent enough to realize that if I wanted to enjoy the material world, first of all, I had to conquer one problem. Namely, the fact that whatever I gain here will eventually be taken away along with my body. So let me conquer that problem first. He stood on the tip of his toes for 120 years of the demigods, and he almost got it, but not quite. He also left his body. Similarly, ourselves, we're not even making any effort to live forever in this material world. People have already given up hope that they're actually going to be able to remain in the same body. So instead of that, they want to enjoy mindlessly. They want to pretend, just like the ostrich, when he sees the enemy coming, he immediately puts his head in the hole. The ostrich has a very long neck, small head, and huge body. So he puts his head into the hole. The fox or the wolf is coming to eat him. So his little tiny head is in the hole, and his huge body is outside the hole. And he thinks, now I'm safe. He'll never find me. So similarly in the material world, imperceptibly, we can all see that our bodies are changing. But somehow or another, we're thinking that some exception will be made for me, and I'll be able to spend a long, long time here, making a nice situation for myself. Gradually, everything will improve. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchanti amalayam sheshastara ischanti kimascharyam atatparam. This is wonderful. Actually, it is wonderful. This is the Krishna's illusory energy. And when we see that, we should be amazed how wonderful it is that everyone is dying, and yet everyone is convinced somehow or another, let us work as if we're living here forever. Therefore, Shukadeva Goswami says, Deha Patya Kalatradishu Atma Sanyeshva Satsupi Tesham Pramato Nidanam Pashana Pina Pashuti. Pramata, the same word here, it's madness that my wife, my children, my bank balance, my house, that these will protect me. That whether it's the Yamadutas or I simply leave my body, somehow or another I won't have to suffer or enjoy the results of my present activities. Everything will be alright. I'm safe. I have two locks on the door, an alarm, and I have a direct line to the police department. So nothing can touch me. I'm safe in here. But it doesn't work out like that. Therefore, it is emphasized again and again that we should realize that all these thoughts, because our aim is to chant Hare Krishna and chant it happily. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Many times we hear, oh Prabhupada, I have so many problems. Don't tell me, chant Hare Krishna and be happy, because I already heard that so many times. Get real. Say something more relevant to my life. So, we may explain so-called reality in so many different ways, which is more palatable. But the Bhagavatam is meant for persons who are a little bit more conscious of what is actually reality. The reality is that most of our thoughts are products of imagination. Not that they don't deal with things that are not, quote, real, but it's imagination because it's temporary. I was talking to one devotee, Yadan Anupru. He said, I was doing something with his computer, and I saw there were something like 350 messages he hadn't answered. So he said, you know, it doesn't look like you're answering your mail very quickly. So he said, yes, I don't answer my mail very quickly. But he said that most of the mail gets taken care of by itself. So we may be not to encourage people not to answer their mail, but most of the problems will take care of themselves, and long after we're gone, the problems will still be there. Even if we can solve all the problems, it is not that at the end of our lifetime they'll read our eulogy and explain how, due to the mercy of the Supreme Lord, so-and-so has incarnated himself and solved all the problems of the material world. And now no one has any problems. No, actually, since time immemorial, the same problems have been there. Now there are the same problems. And long after we leave, the same problems will be there. So this word is pramatak. Nunam pramatak kuru te vikarma. Yet indriya pritya aprinoti. Nasadamanye yatatmano yam asanapi kleshada ashadeha. This pramatak, what is this pramatak? Nunam pramatak kuru te vikarma. We're thinking, somehow or another, let me arrange my life very nicely here in the material world, and this will make me happy. But instead of that, there's klesha. There's all kinds of sufferings that we have to undergo. And the ultimate suffering is that we have to leave this body and start all over again. We may think, now I'm out of school, I don't have to take any more tests. But actually, unless we pass the ultimate test, which is to remember Krishna at the time of leaving this body in full Krishna consciousness, then we have to come back and learn again. Either we'll be in the first grade class, or we'll be get on-the-job instructions with our mother, cat, or dog, giving us on-the-job training. So, if we want to avoid this, punak punas charvita charvananam, repetition, then we have to try to understand the temporality of the material world, and at the same time, the positive aspect of understanding the desirability of becoming Krishna conscious. So here it says that that one can only be happy in the eternal abode of the Lord. So this is not just theoretically. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us a practical method of experiencing Krishna consciousness, of elevating ourselves from the modes of ignorance to the mode of passion, and ultimately coming to the mode of transcendental life, which is Krishna consciousness, becoming conscious of Krishna. Consciousness of Krishna means to be conscious of Krishna's form, and then to feel Krishna's presence, his transcendental qualities, to remember his transcendental pastimes, and to experience the loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, and ultimately to revive our own dormant relationship with Krishna, our life of feeling, part of Krishna's family. This ahanta and mamata, this ahanta, I am this body, and mamata, things in relation to this body belong to me. This has to become spiritualized in the association of devotees. So in the association of sincere devotees who are interested in advancing Krishna consciousness, we can spiritualize these two concepts, that I am Krishna's and Krishna is mine. I belong to Krishna and Krishna belongs to me. And that is the only reality. And if one can chant Hare, that's the meaning of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna means, oh, the energy of Krishna, oh, Krishna, please come, bring me to the platform by which I can actually feel myself, remember myself, identify myself as having only one business, that is to please you and your devotees. To come to this loving platform. And that's possible gradually by matparaha. Matparaha means becoming a sincere devotee of Krishna. Prabhupada writes, matparaha means that one should have no goal in life save and except to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. That all the problems that we think we have are actually not, most of them are not really problems. The only problem is that we think we have the problem. Prahlad Maharaj said, in this world, there's no enemy except for the uncontrolled mind. Krishna also agrees with that. That this is our problem, is that we take our problems, we don't know how to actually handle or deal with our problems adequately. There are real problems, such as ahara, nidra, bhayam, maitunim cha. We do have to maintain the body. We do have to sleep. There are other necessities of life. So these are problems, but the real problem is explained here, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. This is our real problem. Therefore, we have to make life simple so that we simply become Krishna conscious, and at the same time we meet the demands of the body in the simplest way possible. Not that we fan the illusion of material consciousness. The illusion of material consciousness is that, yes, I have so many different problems, and I have to, main problem is my false ego. We have to make sure my false ego is satisfied. That's my number one problem. Especially if there's enough to eat, there's a place to sleep, if I've got no worry about those things, then I have to make sure people respect me, they honor me, that everything that I want takes place. And if it doesn't take place, then I have to figure out how to get it to come about, somehow or another, by my divine arrangements. Krishna summarizes this, idam adhyamaya lavdvam imam prapsye manoritam idam astiyam apime bhavishati punardhanam adhyo maya hatak shatra hanishe chaparanapi ishvaraham ham bhogi siraham balavan suki adhyo bhijanavanasmi kanyosti sadrishomaya dasya yakshami modisha ityagana vimohitaha. So much is mine. I have 3 bead bags. I have a set of the Bhagavatams. I have 2 toothbrushes. I am the most opulent person in the ashram. So much is mine today, and it'll increase more in the future. My mother's sending me another package. He is my enemy, but I'm going to kill him. And all my other enemies will all be killed. I am the lord of everything in the ashram. I am the temple commander. I am surrounded by rich aristocratic relatives. I get the biggest packages. Ishwaraham aham bhogi siddham. I am actually happy with all my opulence. Siddham. I am perfect. And nobody should tell me differently. Balavan. Because I am powerful. Suki. So there are so many varieties of illusion. I'm sure we could go over it and we can all enjoy them. But ultimately we're surrounded by these illusions, although they may apply more to persons outside of Krishna consciousness and less to persons within Krishna consciousness. But ultimately the illusion will be completely dissipated as we completely spiritualize this identity that I am Krishna's servant. That's all I am. And that the only thing worth possessing that should be mine is Krishna. So the Bhagavatam warns us about trying to possess anything. Tasyaiva heto prayate te ko vido talabhyate yad brahmatam upariyada. That whether one goes to the highest planet or down to the lowest planet, which we've all been to, this is not our first birth. So the idea that my true love is waiting for me in Apsaraloka, that we have a rendezvous in the Nandakandana forest, that this is now here I'll go through some austerity and suffering for a few years, and then my true love in the demigod planets will be there. We've already gone up and down since time immemorial looking for our true love in the material world, and then finally we come here and have the opportunity to take up devotional service. So one who's actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should not endeavor, or should endeavor, for that purposeful end, which is not... So the idea that my true love is waiting for me in Apsaraloka, that we have a rendezvous in the Nandakandana forest, that this is now here I'll go through some austerity and suffering for a few years, and then my true love in the demigod planets will be there. We've already gone up and down since time immemorial looking for our true love in the material world, and then finally we come here and have the opportunity to take up devotional service. So one who's actually intelligent and philosophically inclined should not endeavor, or should endeavor, for that purposeful end, which is not found by wandering up and down through heaven and hell, but is actually found by taking shelter of the simple process that Śrīla Prabhupāda has given us, and actually make it simple. Not that I can, I've realized the perfection, but at least to a small extent I can understand that most of the thoughts I have when I'm chanting Hare Krishna have nothing to do with Hare Krishna. 99% of the thoughts have nothing to do with chanting Hare Krishna. And when I see that, I actually become angry. What am I wasting my time? My God. Yes, my Krishna. What am I wasting my time? And then if I actually make an effort to just hear the holy name and then to try to chant a little bit nicer, then there's actually an improvement. And what is the result? The result is sometimes I begin to remember Krishna's form. I can actually feel Krishna's presence. I can remember how nice Krishna is, how nice his devotees are, etc., etc. And I actually feel a little happiness. And then immediately my mind tells you, now you've reached the perfection. Now you have so many other things to deal with. From your point of perfection, so-and-so did this to you yesterday. You have so many things to do today. And then immediately I think, yeah, I'm already perfect. Let me see what to do. Immediately my mind goes someplace else. And after becoming tricked by my mind for a few minutes, then back again, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Trying to get back to the spiritual world. Back to spiritual consciousness. So this is the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's given us an opportunity, even in this lifetime, to come to the spiritual platform simply by chanting Hare Krishna. The only thing we have to do, one of the things, is Vairagya, Vidya, Nidabhakti Yoga, Shikshaka, Ekam Purusha, Purana. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's teaching us not only bhakti, which is the most essential element, but also Vidya and Vairagya. This detachment from this becoming, taking ourselves too seriously, taking our material life too seriously. Not that we should become foolish, but we should understand that it's temporary. Just like the idea is, as we've heard before, that an intelligent person who wants to become God conscious, he should think that at any moment he may die. Because if we knew we were about to die, our perspective in life would certainly change. But one who wants to enjoy in this material world, he should imagine that he's going to live here forever. Otherwise, everything would be spoiled. So Krishna consciousness, especially amongst the devotees, is specifically to remind each other. Because why do we forget Krishna consciousness, the message of Krishna consciousness? It's very simple. Because from lust comes anger. From anger comes delusion. From delusion comes bewilderment of memory. Because we're conditioned and we have a tendency to become attached to our conditioning. Therefore, we forget. Bayam dvitija vineshitasya ishara patasya vipario smriti. We tend to forget that there's nothing good and bad in the material world. Just like within our society, sometimes we have this movement, that movement, this scandal, this thing, whatever is going on. But actually for ourselves individually, it has no real effect in one sense. Because any moment we have the opportunity, each one of us, to do something for Krishna. It may be something that other people may think is something significant. It may be seemingly insignificant. But we're all servants of our circumstances. So whether we have some kind of glorious circumstance to serve Krishna in, or some kind of seemingly less significant circumstance, but as long as we have some circumstance, some opportunity to do something to please Krishna, then the result is if we remember Krishna's form, his quality, his pastimes, then this is our life becoming perfect. That means that we have a perfect opportunity to make our life perfect. Prabhupada, when he got one Simply Wonderful one time, came out of the back of a carnation, patterned milk carton, and he took it and he saw, oh, this is Simply Wonderful. He said, it's Simply Wonderful. And then he said, actually, everything is simply wonderful. The devotees here are simply wonderful. Your Krishna is simply wonderful. The Simply Wonderfuls are simply wonderful. So keep on eating these Simply Wonderful and Simply Wonderfuls, and everything will be simply wonderful. So if we take prasadam, we chant Hare Krishna, we hear about the wonderful Krishna, the wonderful spiritual world, Aradyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanustad Dhamma Vrindaranam, that Krishna is wonderful as the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Vrindavan is wonderful, full of Krishna's loving servants, Ramna Kinjit Vrajavadu Vargena Vakalpitaha. And the way the gopis love Krishna, this is our goal of life. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pamartha Mahan. And if we want to learn how to come to this platform of prema and the mood of the gopis, then there's no better way of doing it than studying the Srimad Bhagavatam and try to practice it within our daily lives. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Idam Matam Idam Tatraraya Napara. That this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, very simple mission. And if we accept it and we appreciate it and accept it and apply it within our lives, this simple process, and not to complicate our lives unnecessarily, then we'll be able to experience the happy result of remembering Krishna's form, feeling Krishna's presence, eventually being able to see Krishna's pastimes, both within the material world and within the remembrances of Krishna's pastimes in the spiritual world. And then our real feelings that we're so anxious to feel, to actually love and feel and make it real, our lives, that will come if we have faith and we follow the process. And if we realize if we understand correctly that our feelings, our hopes in this material world are just like listening to the waves sometimes the waves of the ocean, they smash, they come up against the rocks and they make different sounds. The babble of the sea waves. So our thoughts and emotions in this ocean of material desires and feelings is nothing more than the waves, the babble of the sea waves. They come and go, but no one takes them very seriously. So we can gradually understand that and take seriously the ocean of emotions, the oceans of the service of Krishna, then our lives can become better. Actually better, and gradually they'll become perfect. So, thank you. I think we have a few minutes for some question or some comments. Any comments? Yes.
How are you saying that we should try to try to remember that we're going to die, but it seems like even to do something practical in devotional service, I could only notice that we're in places where there's war. They had some very deep moments of realization, but it seems easier to function in a situation that's not unstable. It seems
it's better. It's easier to function in a place that's more stable. Do you know some place that was just stable? Yeah, of course, there are different degrees of problems. So, for ourselves, we're sadhakas, we're trying to practice Krishna consciousness. I was told that there is a tour that you can take. They have this travel agency which you can pay money and go on a tour to places where there's wars. People who want a little excitement in their lives, they can pay money and they can go visit war zones. So if we're having some difficulty chanting on japa, we're not paying attention and we want to get some inspiration, I don't recommend to go on one of those tours. Although it's a fact that we may become more serious in the midst of difficulty. Queen Kunti prayed like that. But that may not necessarily be true either. Now that we have an opportunity where we have just the right amount of problems facing ourselves. Like, where am I going to sleep tonight? That may be a sufficient amount of problems for ourselves under certain circumstances, or how the prasadam will be, or how to just keep healthy, how to keep clean. We have the just amount, right amount of problems. And if we try to focus our mind on Krishna, even in the midst of the problems that we have, if we can pass that test. Just like if you want to lift up 500 pounds, the best amount of weight to start with is probably 5 or 10 pounds, if that's all you can manage. And then gradually you get stronger, and then one day you may be able to lift up 500 pounds. So we have to judge our strength, and then try to put ourselves in a position where we can have just enough impetus to become Krishna conscious, and at the same time enough peace of mind and sanity, so we can actually focus our mind attentively upon Krishna and give our love to Him. A little bit of problems is not bad if it impels us to take shelter of Krishna more. If the problems become too much, we become overwhelmed. That's not very good. So we have to try and put ourselves, as long as we have some ability, into a situation where there's just the right amount of problems. Because we can't avoid the problems. They'll come of their natural accord. But we should not necessarily create problems for ourselves. We have to judge our strength. At the same time, we should understand my real goal is to focus my attention, give my love to Krishna. So I have to judge and see whether the situation I'm under is actually appropriate for my focusing my attention on Krishna and giving my love for Him. We live in the temple. It's a great opportunity. Because here's Krishna in the form of the deities being nicely worshipped. And if we just chant Hare Krishna lovingly, Krishna will accept it. And we're surrounded by others who are actually trying to do the same thing. It's a very nice opportunity to do that. But if I'm in the temple and my mind is always thinking about how nice it would be to live outside the temple, how nice the people are in the material world, how the devotees here are not very kind to each other, but in the material world everyone's very kind and polite, and how it's very easy to live in the material world, then if my mind is always dwelling on that, my true love is outside, then we may have to move outside for a while and see what it's like. Then one day we may appreciate how nice it was when I was living in the temple and chanting Hare Krishna. So that different persons may necessitate different experiences. But ultimately the real conclusion should be how to focus one's attention and actually give one's love to Krishna. Because Krishna is not a theory. He can reciprocate our interest in Him, and He'll reciprocate our love for Him unlimitedly. As Paramatma within our heart, if we inquire from Him, He'll give us the intelligence. As Krishna, He'll give us the love and the affection that we're actually hankering for, if we're willing to give it to Him. if we're willing to reciprocate with him.
Anything else?
I'll stop there. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.